Greetings to you again in the name of Jesus. My name is Jody, and I'm considering it a privilege to be able to break the bread of life with you. I just want to say that I am only able to share things that God is doing in my life and in my heart, and so I hope you don't feel like I'm ever preaching at you. I don't know who is calling in. I have no way of knowing that. But I do know that God has created us with a great need in our lives to be seeking after God. We are, all of us are flesh, and we have tendencies. We have a great need for a Savior. And I trust that God is working all that out in your life and in mine as we live out this life that He's given to us here. And so I'd like to just read a couple of passages here to you and just talk a little bit about this. I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll be reading from verse 13 on down a little ways. But I'll start with just a few things here. Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And so I want to just touch just a minute about this. Paul here is encouraging the church here that they have this liberty. And if you read in the other parts of chapter 5 here, you'll see that the discussion here is circumcision. And that's a whole big subject there. But the Jews were a circumcised people. It was part of the Abraham covenant that God made with Abraham. And it was a symbol of being in covenant with God. And now this is the birth of the New Testament church. This era is a new church going. And there's some different instruction here. The Gentiles now are welcome part of the church of Jesus Christ. And God is made a new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Circumcision no longer is necessary. That's the old covenant. And now there's a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And so He is saying, you're not in bondage to this. You have liberty from the circumcision, but don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This is key for the church, the Christian church, is that you need to serve, you need to love one another, and that is a high calling. It is the kind of the mark, so to speak, of the Christian, is that we love one another. And then I'm going to go ahead and read verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And, you know, I know you've heard this teaching. You could probably quote that. It's a teaching that Jesus gave about loving our neighbor as ourself. We need to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. And there are some things, though, that I think make it a little clearer here. What does it mean to love your neighbor? How does that work out? I mean, can you just say, well, I love my neighbor, I pray for him, and I don't like some things about him, but I love him, and you know, that's okay, but there, it could go a little deeper than that. And here's what I'd like to do is go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus speaking here, He says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Okay, so we're hearing some of the same wording here, the law and the prophets, fulfilling the whole law. So you can't only say, well, I love my neighbor, I pray for him. Jesus is making it clear here, you need to treat your neighbor the same way you would want your neighbor to treat you. And sometimes I think we can stray away from that just a little bit. But if you really put your mind to it and your heart into it and treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, I think it would be very kind. It would be with a lot of thought and intention behind it. You want people to treat you nicely. You want people to respect you. You want people to love you. And there's, you may have a list of things, but whatever you want people to do to you, that's how you should treat your neighbor. Okay? And so I think we all realize that this is not even possible without God's help and God living his life in us. We're just not able to come up to that standard to love our neighbor as our own self. I'm going to go back now to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 now. And he's giving a warning here. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, which would be just the opposite of what he's instructing here, if you bite and devour one another, take heed or be careful that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so now I want to just briefly talk about that. I know we've kind of gone through some of these scriptures before, but walking in the Spirit means that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? And I believe that it's not that complicated. It's just a surrender to God and letting him fill us with himself and his Holy Spirit, that we might be able to fulfill this calling here to walk in the Spirit. And it's a denying of the flesh. It's what gives us the power to overcome the desires of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. And he lists them here. There's several places in the Bible that list the deeds of the flesh. And I know that they're very familiar. I probably don't even have to read it, but I'll go ahead. It says, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are opposing each other. And a man that's walking by the Spirit will not be walking in the flesh at the same time. It's not even a possible thing. You walk by the Spirit of God. It says, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And he's going to list now. These are the deeds. These are the works of the flesh. He says, it's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's listed those things, and we know that. We know the struggles of our heart. God has put in us a conscience, and we know when we are defiling ourselves and we're fulfilling and gratifying the deeds of the flesh. But here's the instruction he gives us now, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you have these things being manifest in your life, there is no law that's going to condemn you. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. These are important scriptures for us to visit and revisit, because our flesh is flesh. And we need to be reminded, hey, I need to walk by the Spirit of God in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in us and help us to overcome deeds of the flesh. Maybe today you're struggling with some deeds in the flesh, and maybe God has been convicting you about that and showing you that it's wrong, whatever it is that you're struggling with, and you've tried and you just can't seem to get over it. You can't be overcoming and being victorious in something. And You know, in the own strength, you'll never be able to do it. But by the Spirit of God and by His power, His might, He helps us to overcome. And I'm not saying that once you do it, it's done forever. It's a daily thing. We're to take up our cross daily. We're to be crucified with Christ and crucify the flesh and the affections of and lusts of the flesh. And the only way we can do that is by living by the Spirit of God, letting Him have control, yielding ourselves to Him, the Almighty God. And as we do that, I believe He will help us to be overcomers. I need this in my life, and I'm very sure you do too, because we're humans, we're flesh, and we have a great need for a Savior, one to help us and to save us from our sin. But He has prepared and given us a way, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I trust that as you are listening in, that God is drawing you closer to Himself. And maybe you're already a Christian, I don't know. But if not, He gives you opportunity to surrender your life to Him, be converted, be born again. And if you are already Christian, then God will give you encouragement to continue on and to press on, to fight the good fight of faith, and to run for the finish. And so may God bless you as you are pursuing God in your everyday life.